You better be ready, because I just clicked the on button.
Oh, on. And look, it didn't do that. Did you figure out what the levels thing was?
Yeah. Well, hey, guess what? Remember last week how horrible it was that it was just me droning on about anime? Well, yay! Dr. Morbius is back with us.
Yay, and we got a movie. Yes. A real movie, kind of.
So, yes.
A real confusing movie. A movie that it's a Japanese movie that's in the style of a 1960s European gothic horror movie, but it's been dubbed in Italian, but it has English subtitles.
Oh, that was Italian?
That was Italian, my friend.
Hold on, because, okay, well, first of all, this is Asian Cult Cinema. Yes. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Mal, with me as always.
Morbius.
In parts unknown. That's okay.
And with English, with the actors, they added American name or English Western names to them. And like, really, John Goodwin? Which one is he? You know,
I was gonna start the show calling shenanigans.
No,
saying you picked a Spanish movie that I had to read and you didn't. You're the one percenters, and I'm the poor toiling away. So you had to read these two?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But you know what? When I was reading it, I was going like, hey, that word's kind of like in Spanish.
I thought you pulled the shenanigans and made me read one that you could listen to. And I was like, that's BS.
I'm calling you out on it.
Calling you out, Dr. Morbius, for making me toil away reading this thing.
But what was good about the reading was it was on the outside of the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was underneath the movie, so it made it a little easier to read. Now, I had to read it too, man.
Okay.
We're both in the same.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better.
I will do that to you one day.
Now, what's the name of this? It's called...
This movie has many names. Okay, yeah. It goes under House of Terror from 1965. I've seen it before as Ghost of the Hunchback,
which makes more sense.
And then there's another name over called Satan's Pit.
That's
so
the name.
Take
of the
your pick.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's again with these three movies. I did. This was a beautifully shot movie. I immediately went out and tried to find one in Japanese or English.
No.
I would have preferred the Japanese because I can actually
understand it.
Some. Not much, but some of it, I know it enough that I can understand when I'm listening to dialogue. Because the one thing that did upset me about it, because this is a nice, it was a beautifully shot movie.
Oh, yeah.
That you know, it was very noir,
very gothic.
Yeah, gothic noir. It was like, dang it, there was so much talking, and when there's a lot of talking, it's hard to keep up with the subtitles. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh, man, come on.
What was funny was they're talking in Italian. It was like, Judy, Judy, Judy. You know, I'm going like, Judy, why wasn't it like, what? You know?
Yeah, they were saying
what?
The name. They were saying the name Judy, but everyone else was like, Yoshi, Yokohama. And you're like, okay, where'd
Judy come from?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, whatever. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes or something. I don't
Weird.
Know. It's an odd, it's an interesting movie, but it was just like, the strangeness of apparently this movie was never, from what I read, never dubbed in English, but I guess the Italians took it because it looked just like one of their 1960s Barbara Steele Mario Bava movies.
It did,
and it had all the trappings of that, and it was like, or like The Haunting or whatever, but it was just like you feel like there's something was lost in translation. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
A lot was lost, but it's still an interesting watch.
Yeah.
Because you're like, wait a minute, this is their take on, this is Japan's take on gothic. Okay. I mean, to me, their gothic is like those yokai monsters or whatever, but Western gothic. So, all right, well, maybe what they were trying to do was get this movie to play in, you know, America or whatever, and all it got to was Europe or Italy or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what the story is.
I will.
It's by the same Hajime Sato. It was the same guy who did Gouki, Monster from Hell. Remember the one airplane with the...
Gouki, and then what about...
He did another couple of...
Did you Young Air? Oh, not Young Air.
I think he did something called Golden Bat, which we may be watching in the future.
Okay,
with
cool.
Sonny Chiba.
I do like... Obviously, I like the Japanese takes on Westerns and horrors and stuff like that. To me, they're kind of creepier. Like the ones that are well done there, because you don't know where they're going to take it. Like,
no, and this one...
With an American one, with a Europe
right,
one,
yeah.
You know right where this is going. With a Japanese one, who the hell knows? Buckle up, because who the hell knows where this is going? And that's kind of refreshing, because it's just, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Everyone might die.
We have the shadows and we have the people in the house and all that, but let's like throw these weird, you know, this weird old lady here, this seance and this and that. And even though that's been done in American movies, they take it to a different level.
Way different level.
That wouldn't be, way over the top in Western.
Oh, yeah.
But over there, it's like, oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Which just kind of makes it cool.
It does make it so cool.
Obviously,
I ladle heaping loads of my adoration and love for Japan on this show and to anyone that will lend an ear. But that's something that they do bring to cinema. Now, I'm sure their mainstream is just as crappy as our mainstream.
Yeah, probably.
But maybe not. You know, they're predictable, but in a different way, possibly. When you watch these old ones, I just love seeing the stuff in the background and seeing... Now, not this one so much, because this has a one set...
Pretty much, it's the one-set piece.
But when we do those Japanese spy movies, or when we do stuff in the background and the things that are going on are so cool. They have such a different vibe, you know? I also said that about the James Bond movies, how I loved... And that's obviously not Japanese. How I loved, you know, one, that that this isn't always about America. That's my favorite thing about those James Bond movies. I'm tired of the threat on America. It's nice to sit back and watch someone else's deal. Mm. Let's watch someone else's deal for a while, because I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of the terrorists. I'm tired of blah, blah, blah. So you watch the James Bond stuff, and you're like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares? Leave us out of it. Just, you
deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. Do it.
And that's part of the love for the Japanese. The Japanese movies is the same thing. They got their own set of stuff going on. They got their own cares going on, and their movies take you to a different world, and you're like, all right, it's, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was just like, I had found this years ago in a torrent, and then I was going through YouTube. And I just said, when you said to me, hey, I need another movie.
Just grab something, because I...
And I just said, and it just popped into my head, Ghost of the Hunchback. I go, well, maybe it's on there. And it was on there. And it was subtitled. It was the other version that I had. Didn't have subtitles. So I'm good. And there was another one that I found out that we'll do in the future called Invisible Man versus Human Fly. It's got subtitles in English. So I go, we have to do this. Human Fly
versus the
Invisible Man. I mean, come on. Yeah. You know, come on.
It's tailor-made.
It's tailor-made for this show. So, that'll be upcoming in the future.
Yeah, very cool. But so good choice. This was also a very hip time. For 60s and 70s was a hip time for a lot, like for England, for Japan, America.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little bit different time. 50s were kind of stodgy. Late 70s and 80s were like boring.
This
is
like a little bit of the old world, and the new world's kind of busting through, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to be pushing the envelope now.
Yep.
We're tired of like the 50s. It was a good time.
And you can feel it.
I remember
it. You can feel it in the movies. You can feel it in the expressionism. What they're trying to say is slightly different, you know, a little bit better. And this carries it to some degree. Now, this is very formal.
To an extent,
but crazy stuff. Crazy B-movie stuff, you know. And where the cult cinema comes in, because, like, just the part where she's looking at her husband in that box and he's biting down that daisy and you're like,
oh, what? Yeah, and then she's trying to pull it off or whatever. because it starts off where she's, like, finding out that her husband just died.
Yeah.
Right, the woman. And then she's like, she wakes up in the bed, I think, and she's like, finds out that he just...
Yeah, so the phone's ringing, she sits straight up, and she's having this weird dream, and then a servant or helper or something comes in and says, oh... And it's so funny because the servant walks in and goes, your husband's dead. And just doesn't, no formalities. Just,
excuse me, wake up.
Yeah, which I don't think that would happen. So it was kind of, she's like, oh, okay. So then they go down to this like place.
Yeah, they go to the funeral place.
But it's almost like...
And she wants to see him.
Yeah, but the doctor's there and like he's expounding about how he tried to save him but just couldn't save him. And then there's like this other guy who's just skulking around again, another skulker who's just kind of around, and he's like, oh, we tried our best. All right, but let's go.
We got to take a break.
Yeah, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come right back to get into this Satan's Pit, a.k.a.
Ghost
of the Hunchback.
Or House
of Terror. Whatever else you want to call it, I guess.
The most fantastic weapon of all time is the Flying Guillotine. Few men have ever been able to operate this death-dealing device, and only one was the Master of the Flying Guillotine. Seymour Bordy and Associates presents The Master of the Flying Guillotine, filmed in Super Cinevision, rated R. Master of the Flying Guillotine. One sure way to get ahead.
Now I swear, the next one of you primates even touches me. Yeah!
All right. Now we have the lady.
We're talking about
Yoshi. That's the woman's name is Yoshi. We have her. She's her husband's dead, and then she hears a noise in the box.
In the box, yeah.
And she goes back over and opens it up, and this her husband's dead, but he has all these flowers around him, which is weird. And he's bit down on one, and she's trying to take it out of his mouth, and it won't come out. And they're like, and the doctor's like, I told you, it's just a natural sound the body makes when rigor mortis goes away. Leave it alone.
Well, I've heard stories where like there's a body in the casket and then the rigor mortis sits in it and it
sits up.
That would make me go
freak out.
Yeah. Go with my pants. You know? Like, probably. Oh my God, I'm running out of here.
I've rigor mortised my pants.
Yeah, yes, basically, crazy. Yeah. So then after that, you know, incident, they take him to incinerate him.
Yeah, they incinerate him.
And they see him put the casket in there. And then like the thing goes on fire, and then all of a sudden, like his corpse pops up, and then you get the title of the movie. It's like, hey, wait a minute. That's when you go. Okay, the Western movies wouldn't do this. Yeah,
exactly.
This is when you get into the okay. They're just giving the cheap shot, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah. It's kind of different.
Instead of the jump scare, it's a jump flaming corpse scare.
And then you see that this is a Japanese movie, but the actors have American names. And everybody else is Italian, and you're like, huh?
I know.
They're speaking Italian. At first, you don't know.
There's not a Japanese or an Italian person in this movie. It's all Japanese.
All Japanese
cast.
And you're like, okay. And then you see the credits, one of them, you know, Edizione, Italiano by, you know, okay, I get it. You know.
I would bet that this probably didn't make it onto screens.
Oh, it made it to Italy. It played on television. But
maybe they probably bought it and just rebranded it, and that was it. Like, yeah, in Japan, this might have never come out.
Possibly.
I don't know. I don't know one way or the other about that, but because of the branding, and it's not out there. You can't find it in any other version, which tells me this might be the only one that there is.
I mean, who knows? There may be a vault somewhere sitting on it in Japanese, but to us, this is it.
Yeah.
You know? I read somewhere where there's... I don't think you can get it online, but you might. There's a toy channel, you know, the company Toy, the film.
Yeah.
And they show a lot of oddball movies that aren't even made it to... maybe it might be online. I don't know, but they show a lot of... some of their B-movies or whatever that never made it onto DVD or anything.
I should look into that, because, man, I love Toy.
I
actually toured that, you know,
there
in
you
Japan.
Go. Well, look it up online, you know.
So anyway, back to this movie. So then you show her walking around, and then, you know, she's like kind of going to her house, and then somebody comes up and says, oh, I'm a lawyer. Here's a deed to some place that your husband owned. And she's like, what are you talking about? And she doesn't know. And it's like this, there's some mansion that he owns that she didn't know that he was going to. And she's like, okay, that's odd. So she gets her niece and they just kind of go. And they also take the doctor, who is her husband's... It's her father-in-law, basically. Her father-in-law is this doctor who's a weirdo.
He's a sleazebag, yeah.
You know, he's a sleazebag. He's a real jerk. And then her, and then the niece. So they go out. And then the niece has this boyfriend, kind of, but it's not really a boyfriend. Like, yeah. She likes him. It was the guy that was with the other guy. So you're like, okay, so who you see in the first shot is about it, except for a few people that kind of come in a little bit later. So they're walking around they get in and they're walking around this place, and then there's the servant there is this hunchback.
And he's like the hunchiest hunchback I've ever seen.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
He was like totally L-shaped.
He's L-shaped. He's bent over at the waist.
This was a tough performance, I think, for this guy to do, like, in this movie. This is like Torgo. Painful.
That's what I thought too. That's the first thing I thought of, because famously there's a Torgo, who's from the Manos Hand of Fate, was this guy who took he was like pretending to be a goat man, and the prosthetics that he used for this thing made him in so much pain that he got hooked on heroin and died.
Yeah.
How much truth to that, you be the judge, but whatever. Yeah. They were very painful, and this guy plays this entire thing bent over at the waist at in an L shape, 90 degrees. And this hump is of varying sizes and big, you know.
Like Marty Feldman.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit like that. But so he's like this guy who doesn't talk much.
And at first he's kind of like benevolent and kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm the hunchback.
I'm the wormy guy. I'm wormy,
yeah. Yeah, I'll show you around. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, it's kind of whiny, too.
Yeah, he's like, this is where you'll stay. And there's this big, right when you get into the foyer, there's this big Satan, yeah. Freaking like, Satan
sign,
statue.
Bad sign.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, first thing I'm going to do is move this out, I think, because I don't really like the Satan motif.
Yeah, it doesn't work with my, with my decor. You know?
So there's this huge statue of Satan, and this guy is constantly like cleaning around it, cleaning the floor around it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they sit down, and she's like, this is a weird place. And he's like, oh, and then the father-in-law, the weirdo, is kind of like, oh, how about if to keep up appearances, you pretend you're my wife and we'll live here, and I'll make this into a hospital.
And she's like, hell no.
Yeah, that's such an odd, weird thing. Like, he's kind of saying, be my wife and we'll be
in all ways.
And you're like, you're gross.
Yeah, I'm your stepdad and your husband. You know,
that's
like,
nasty.
No,
such a weird thing.
No.
And she reacts appropriately and goes, ah, and gets up and screams and runs away. And you're like, okay.
Right.
But then now they're peppering in a lot of this nightmarish stuff where
she goes into the room and she starts seeing visions.
And screams. And then she sees that, like, a torture scene in shadows.
Yeah, that was really weird, you know. I didn't know what the hell was going on. I don't know if he was, like, tickling her with a flower in the shadow or if he was torturing her. It was weird. And she's like freaking out and lights are flashing. It's very effective. And then you know, you hear like a lot of sounds, you know, like the ghostly, a little too much in a way, but you know, they're like really amping it up.
This one goes to 11.
Yeah, this one goes to 11. It's like, oh, scary. You know, you're like, okay, all right, we get it. Scary ghost. And she just passes out, I think. And then, like, she wakes up, and then some other thing happens. So I forgot what it was. Some other apparition happens, and she starts spinning around.
She runs out, and she spins and passes out, and then she's like, oh, this wind
just twirled
me until I passed out. And they're like, no, that's not true. And then the one young guy's like, you see this? Oh, I thought so. These joints butt up against each other, and it's common in these old houses to have ghosts. And you're like, okay. He's, like, explaining it away, and she's like, no, I don't think that's what happened.
I don't think that's what happened.
And she still doesn't know anything about why her husband was here.
What was the deal with the house?
What is this thing? You know, and they don't know. So then, now a girl, a young hot girl, and like a lawyer. There's three different ones.
Yeah.
Because a lawyer and a mistress show up, and she's like, oh. Because
you're going to read the will.
Yep. She was like, oh, I was the mistress. Of your husband. He promised me $20 million. And you're like, wait, what? You can promise that. And
A bag of sugar.
And that's about the same validity because he's dead now. But anyway, so she's
really, and then you find out that she's messing around with a lawyer. And if he can't get her to the house, she's going to dump him or whatever. He just comes on there and she pushes her off. So
a Japanese floozy.
Everybody's like really sketching this movie.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. There's one, what is it, O'Hara?
O'Hara.
She is the only one that's kind of pure.
Sort of.
Everyone else was flawed. She loved that guy, but she never did anything wrong. Like, everyone else in this movie was very flawed. They showed their flaws. They had some problems, you know. So now this mistress shows up with a lawyer, and the lawyer's like, well, let's read the will. So they open up the deed, and the deed says, nope, this goes equally to my father and my wife. And whoever dies, then the other one gets it all.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much like, well, then you can go pound sand, mistress.
Yeah.
And the lawyer's like, oh, I'll see what I can do, harumph. And then they kind of go into the background a little bit.
Sort of.
They stay there to be fodder, but they don't have any real impact in the story at this point. It's kind of just like.
And then some other people show up too, right?
Yeah. The girl shows up, like that hot girl in the roadster. talks to O'Hara's
his assistant, right?
Yeah, like the assistant who's with the niece is fooling around with this girl, and she's like, "Oh, when are you gonna tell her? When are you gonna dump her? And let's stop fooling around," kind of thing.
Right, right.
So, okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the finale of what happens.
It's a convoluted plot of this movie.
It's fun, but yeah, some of it's like, what are we doing now?
Frankenstein's Bloody Terror. It's a super shock spectacle of hideous horror in Chillerama 70 and gory color. Rated PG.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
Or his pet.
Hey, vote for Satan's pet. That's coming up. That was, of course, Frankenstein's Bloody
Terror, starring Paul Naschy.
Others also known as Frankenstein's hump ghost, hunchback of Frankenstein.
What's very interesting about the ghost of the hunchback.
Yes, Frankenstein's hunchback ghost.
Frankenstein's ghostly hunchback terror.
that's called. That's the other title.
What's funny about that movie is there's no Frankenstein in it. But anyway,
that's such a rip.
There's a story about that, but I'll tell you on another show.
Okay.
Anyway.
Now we're back to it. Now, this place is really amping up. The weirdness is kind of going off the charts. There's a door they can't open, but then they finally open it, and they go into the basement. There's like an altar with, and there's a lot of crow imagery.
Yeah, there's crows.
Crow is flying around.
Crow is like a death bird or whatever. So there's a lot of that. Quote
the regime, whatever.
Yeah.
Well. So they're flying around, and then they come up, and they're like, and that's when the doctor is really ramping up. Oh, it's that hunchback. He's behind it all. See? Like, he wants to get rid of the hunchback.
And they start hassling the hunchback, and he's like, hoo, 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 you know.
And the prominently displayed crucifix hanging from his neck.
Yeah, right. You know, I'm a good guy.
I'm a nice guy. And
I'm
then,
a nice hunchback.
And then the hottie shows up, and she's making out with Rico Suave, Japanese Rico Suave. And that's when O'Hara comes out, and she's like, oh. What was me, you know?
Yeah.
And the hunchback is there, and she follows him, feeling like, well, I got nothing going on. And she's like, what happened here? And he's like, oh, a motorcycle hit this tree.
Yeah,
and
one they of them both was like died. Judy.
Yeah, Judy and Jerkface.
Judy and Potsy and Ralph. Or something.
So she's like, huh, that's odd. And then he goes in.
And that scene was weird because when he's talking about it, they get through the Batman angle where they did like a 45 degree, which is like, huh?
Weird.
Yeah, like, okay, I guess you're going to, you know, get away with it.
Whatever, right? Yeah. And then, so now they're like, now the girl's there, and then they're like, oh, let's find out what's going on with this seance.
Yeah, some old lady just shows up, and hey, out of the blues, some old lady shows up.
I felt a
disturbance here, so I'm going to give you a seance, whether you like it or not.
I found a disturbance in the Force. That's what she said, and she was Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then she's there, and this is a very typical Japanese witch. They kind of always put, they're very white.
Yeah.
They have you can tell they kind of smell bad. You know what I mean? Like, and this like old lady is like, and this scene here, I was like, oh my god, did Sam Raimi?
Yeah, I know.
This influenced Evil Dead.
Yeah, big time.
A lot.
Yeah, big time.
The performance, there's even like the deer antlers and the head behind her.
I know.
I was like, oh my god. And you don't know where
I don't know if he watched this movie.
Not directly, but it seemed like it. Because this was a really good scene. It was a jarring scene. Because during the seance, this witch becomes whatever they want to ask it. So they're like...
She
becomes the ghost of exposition past. So she's basically... They're like, what happened? And she becomes the dead husband. And she's like, I had this place for sex. And you're like, wait, what? And then she's like, oh. And then they're like, who's so-and-so? And he's like, oh, I murdered her. Because they're like, how did she die? Who was this lady? She died. Here. Oh, well, how'd you die? I murdered her. I poured gas on her and burned her alive and kept pouring gas on her. And you're like, that's crazy. And then this lady comes over and just starts kind of groping the wife. And he's like, and don't trust your father-in-law. He used to sit there and watch us make love in the hospital and something. You're like, this is all weird.
Yeah, Yoshi. Yeah, right.
And you're like, this is so strange. But don't worry. It gets stranger.
Everybody's dirty laundry gets in.
Yeah.
So then at one point, the one girl tells the guy, hey, if he's going to make it into the hospital, I want you to blackmail him. I forgot what reason she wanted to blackmail.
Because he was going to take over the practice, then she would marry.
Then if you marry him and take over the
practice, then her father will let them be married.
Yeah, and she says, make sure you tell him that. You're going to tell everybody that he did vivisection on soldiers during the war, you know, which is something that's really the Japanese don't want to talk about, that they did, you know, crap like that. So, you know, she's like, go ahead and blackmail him. Yeah. So he does.
Yeah, oh, no, the witch is gone.
She's done with her seance. Yeah.
And I think in between her chewing the scenery, yeah, then the mistress gets murdered.
That's
kind of like, whatever. And then Japanese Rico Suave tries to blackmail the father-in-law. And he's like, a lot of people did bad things. And he's like, harumph. And then they don't have any resolution at that point.
No.
Because the murders start ramping up, you know.
Yeah.
When does the hunchback exposition train
pull
up?
At one point, I forgot what it was. They were either hassling the hunchback or
was eating, and they're like, "Now you tell us what's going on." And they kind of jump him.
They were like jumping him, and then all of a sudden, he's like turns into like
exposition train. He
tells a story of his brother who was like messing around with the laughing woman who doesn't stop laughing during sex, even when she gets shot or whatever.
Crazy! That lady's such a weird character.
And, you know, she's like, she's done, and she's laughing at him. And then all of a sudden, the soldier comes in, throws the brother in, like, a pit and leaves him to die, has sex with the laughing woman, and she laughs at him while they're doing it. And then when he's done, he kills her, and then she's laughing while he kills her. And then he throws her, I think, back in the pit or whatever. And then the hunchback sees this, I guess, after the...
Right. At this point, I don't think he even is a hunchback. He's just his brother.
I thought he was a hunchback.
He's the baron. This is what happens. To set this up, they come down. O'Hara is there with this hunchback, and this hunchback has this weird... Like, he's going to go play a concert with freaking... Liberace.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm not a hunchback. I'm the baron of this place. And they're like, what? And that's when he tells the story.
Yeah, somehow or another, I forgot what drove him to become his brother, but he becomes the brother again. His face changes. He becomes like evil and snarling and sleazy and everything. Yeah. And then he tells the story about how after all that happened to his brother, he took over his spirit. And so
then he goes, no one ever can leave this place. Because then they show the soldier driving away, and that's who runs into the tree and dies.
Yeah, right. He had the brother's spirit had him killed or whatever.
Yeah.
So then now it becomes murder fest or whatever. Yeah. Everybody's dying off. They're trying to escape, but they can't.
Nobody can escape.
There's a scene where the door starts like popping up, and that's from the movie The Haunting or whatever, you know. So everybody's freaking getting killed off, you know.
Yeah, and the one girl gets strangled pearls, and it's very erotic, like sexually charged.
Like, it's almost like the hunchback's raping her, pulling her clothes off, getting down to her bra, and then he kills her. And then he kills basically everybody.
Yep.
And then the one girl, the pure girl at the very end, just walks into the forest, and he's following
her. That's what he said. The hunchback, she was kind to him. She was always kind to the hunchback, and he, like, loved her.
Yeah.
And at this point, he's kind of saying, look, this is the house of Satan. That's why we killed your husband. We kill whoever comes in here. That's the curse of this place.
Yeah, I'll be nice, but then all of a sudden I'll turn into the bad guy.
And he keeps yelling, go to the girl, because he loves that girl. He wants her to live. The girl walks out with a candelabra. She stops talking. She's possessed. She walks into a fire, lights herself up, just dies on fire. Same way as that guy's mistress.
Yeah.
The one that died.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy, the ghost of the hunt of the ghost says to the hunchback, you can't ever betray your loyalty lies with avenging my death. The only thing you're going to do for the rest of time is murder people that come in this house. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget it.
He's like,
don't ever try and save anyone again. Yeah. Cause he tried to save that one girl that he loved. He fell in love with. They didn't really play that angle too much, but you could tell.
You could tell that he really liked. He thought she was of all the people that were there, she was the more.
She was the innocent. She was the innocent. She was the one that was. And then he walks back. He kind of shrugs, walks back into the house, Closes the door.
Nice ending shot of him.
The end.
In the end. A very strange movie, but effective and
powerful
and,
movie.
Yeah,
strange.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
When you watch it, it's creepy. It's weird. I really wish it was in Japanese or English, but more Japanese, I guess, because some of those voices would probably be a lot different.
Yeah, it was like, hey, what's the matter with you?
Hey, Luigi, Mario, let me smack you in the face with my blue turtle shell.
Exactly.
And you're like, ah, come on. But,
Hey, at least you got to see it, and that's the only way you're going to see it for now. So. Yep. There you go. Definitely an Asian cult cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Oddball movie.
This is a fun one. I enjoyed it. I really loved everything about it.
From 65, I think.
Yeah, 1965. Really of the time, really mimicked some of that.
Some of the gothic horror.
Some of the gothic horror that you love.
American and Italian, yeah. Yep. And, you know, it had its flavor to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a gothic... The Italian gothic horror movies were basically the Italian spiced up like the American.
Yeah.
Now this was a Japanese flavoring too, which made it tasty as well.
Yep, sure did. That was a little bit of wasabi on your Italian gothic pizza.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that was Ghost of the Hunchback is what I'm going to call it.
Or Satan's Pit or House of Terror.
Yeah,
or
it's been
whatever.
A million different things. Go check it out on YouTube. I liked it quite a bit. I would say definitely go check it out. This is one of those tweeners that's like around between a 7 and 8 somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
Loved it. Loved the feel of it. Loved everything about it. So
yeah, there you go.
You're going to have to read it, though. Buckle up. You're going to have to read it.
Yeah, you can read.
Some of the reading is Fast and Furious, which took away from it, but not too bad.
Not to mention, if you read it, just realize that they're speaking Italian and you're reading in English, you can learn the language while you're at it, too.
Good luck with that. All right, my name is Matt with me, as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And this is Don Sullivan singing us out of this wonderful thing. We'll see you again next week with more Asian cult cinema.
There was a mushroom, sad little mushroom. There was a meadow, ready to cry. There was a sparrow, gray little sparrow. There was an eagle, silent and high. And the Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh. Children laugh, the Lord said laugh, laugh, laugh. And the Lord, he said, I created for you a world of joy from out of the blue. And all that is left to complete the joy, just the laugh of a girl and boy. Yay, 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 yay. And there was a garden, beautiful garden, held in the arms of a world without joy. Then there was laughter, wonderful laughter, for he created a girl and a boy. And the Lord said, oh, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh, children laugh. The Lord said, laugh.
Sure is. And you know, I never felt any more like laughing than I do right now.